Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. We're going to be traveling to different parts of the globe today, so be sure that you keep your imagination cap on. But our guest is going to be Sharon Rose, and she's on the line with me. She's in Oregon, and we're going to be talking about, I don't know whether it's supposed to be a famous or an infamous year upcoming, 2012, and also the year following, 2013. Yes, there is going to be another year. I want to welcome Sharon to the show. Hello, Sharon.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, it's an absolute delight, and I have to compliment you on your film work, because when I get so many different types of materials, I've had a lot of films submitted to me, and I have not liked many of them, because they have been disjointed, the texture, the feel of the film, the information. It was like somebody in the third grade put it together, and I thought, oh, yuck. But yours are exquisite.
Thank you
absolutely
very much.
Absolutely exquisite.
Thank you very much. We really feel that this is important. The knowledge that we're putting out, the people that we have had the privilege of interviewing, it's very important. And because both my husband and I have backgrounds in film and theater, we have years of experience so that the films come out very nicely.
Well, they do. They flow. And it's an actual visual pleasure to be able to go through them. Now, let's talk about some of the people. We're going to talk about 2012 first, and then we'll get into 2013.
Okay.
Now, 2012 also has a subtitle called The Odyssey. And you have interviewed in this video Greg Braden, Rick Levine, Mariah Timms, Jay Wiedner, Jose Arguelles, John Major Jenkins, Geoff Stray, Alberto Velodo. Tell us the reason why this was important for you to be able to put this movie regarding 2012 together. I mean, everybody and their brother seems to be thinking that this is going to be a horrific year. Nobody really knows anything. It reminds me of what we went through at the turn of the century. You know, everything was supposed to come to an end. But that's not where you come from. That's what this movie is not about. So tell us what inspired you to take on this task, you and your husband.
Well, my husband, Jay Wiedner, had done extensive work into a cross, a very strange arcane monument in the south of France that was an alchemical cross built by the Masons. And in his decoding of the cross, it pointed to December 21st, 2012. And it was also interesting that it pointed to a place of refuge in Peru, which the Peruvians, the Incans, who we met in the first film, and then we go to Peru in the second film, also have this amazing prophecy about 2012 that says that we're going to be transforming into a new type of human that they call Homo Luminous.
What a wonderful word.
Isn't it?
Homo Luminous. Very, very musical to me. Just flows.
And we also had met John Major Jenkins and knew his work, and knew the work of Jose Arguelles. And so in 2006, this was before people were talking about 2012 very much, we decided that we wanted to do the film to get the first word out there, because we knew, knowing the media as we do, the mainstream, that they were going to jump on it and turn it into what they have, doomsday.
Yes, absolutely.
And the ancient prophecies do not talk about doomsday. They talk about a time of transition, a time of transformation, in which many of the things, in fact, all of the things that are happening these days, they speak of, but that's all part of what the Caro shamans of Peru call a purification and a cleansing into a really amazing new way of being in the world.
Well, your photography is so exquisitely presented that even between the commentaries of the different persons that you have interviewed and their positioning of their opinions and their perceptions, which each of them I think is, you know, quite significant, I really feel like there is this wonderful mental, what do I want to say? It's as if there should be a joyfulness about this. Let's not look at this as a self-defeating patterning. In fact, you've got a quote here. Someday after mastering the winds, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love, and then for a second time in the history of the world, man will have discovered fire. And that's by Monsieur de Chardin. And I look at this and I think, that's a wonderful quote to start the movie off with.
Thank you. Well, it's very interesting that you bring this quote, because another activity we're doing, which I'm so excited about right now, is that we're starting an online mystery school.
Oh!
And the first teacher is named Robert Cox, who's written a book called The Pillar of Celestial Fire. So here we have, and what is that fire? That fire is the inner fire, the inner awakening, the light of our own essential being that each one of us has the opportunity to discover and become homo luminous.
Mm-hmm.
That fire, that light of divinity. So he's going to be our first teacher in the School of Sacred Mysteries, which will be an online school. And I'm very excited about it.
Well, that's wonderful.
Also in the school, we're going to have a lot of excerpts from the interviews that were not in the films.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be, you know, like 20-minute, half-hour interview with Jose Arguelles or John Major Jenkins or any of the people in the films, plus incredible interviews with radio interviews weekly with some of the leading experts in Gnosticism. And so you brought in fire, so I had to, because this is kind of the next step from the 2012 films.
Well, that's just wonderful. Let's talk about the Mayans for just a moment, because they developed a calendar more than 5,000 years ago. In fact, we honestly don't have a clue as to if they actually went past, you know, 2012, because they were very oriented mathematically. They really, when you stop and think about a people that went ahead 5,000 years in calendar projections, and they had more than one, it's just an incredible thought. And when you think of our scientists today, so many people are doing projections like that too, because we have computers.
Yes.
And we're able to do that. But they didn't have computers as we know them today. They didn't have that at all. Tell us about your journey into the Yucatan Peninsula, into the areas of the country where you met different Mayans. How were you able to cultivate this open communication with them?
Well, actually, I haven't met them. I met Mayans at our conferences, but we actually, it was John who went to down there to the Yucatan, and we went to Peru. We went to Peru in the second.
Okay.
But what I want to tell you, which is we talk about in the film, is that human beings have incredible natural capacities and have for centuries, and the Mayans, just like the Tibetans, the Incans, and all the, you know, the alchemists, the Egyptians,
mm-hmm.
the Hindus, had this ability, and the Druids, of course, to commune with nature and the cosmos. Their sense of time, which we talk about in Time Wave 2013, was very different from what, you know, in our modern world that is so, time is kind of very linear and very controlled. Theirs was very different, and they, because of this, they were able to see both into the past and into the future.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for centuries, for the Egyptians, we'll talk about them, they studied the stars, and they studied, you know, the connection of the planets and the flow of the stars and the ages with humanity. And so they were able to create these, what I'd call maps, of consciousness and maps of time.
Mm-hmm.
So the Mayans, they had many calendars. They were amazing. And this is the long count calendar that ends in 2012. And what does that mean? That means end. It doesn't mean end of the world. It means new beginning.
That's right. It means a shift, a change. And if you think about whenever people try to get into the doomsday thing, everything has its cycle in life. Even a stone has a cycle where it will be here for a period of time and eventually will shift into that space we call death so that there can be a transformation or transmutation, whichever word you're most comfortable with, that will allow it to go into another energy frequency. That's me. And I know that's sort of sounding highfalutin in a way, but life is ongoing.
Yes.
It is never, ever gone, but it's just like our physical chassis. They're only going to last for a certain amount of time, and after a while, they just sort of burn out. So it's one of those things about the patterning of life that we just need to make okay and not live in fear. And that is what I find that these exquisitely done films have been able to convey, that there is this vitality in life. And where we are right now is rediscovering something that we have sort of put aside, and that is that there is this harmonic between ourselves, the earth that we occupy, the peoples of various cultures and backgrounds, different animal forms, all kinds of things. We all are part of the same stuff, and to honor it and respect it. And I really think you have done a phenomenal job with this. Now, when you have 2012, and at the end of 2012, you end up visiting a particular site that I thought was just absolutely awesome. What is that unique site? They're called, aren't they the Georgia Guidestones? Tell us about those Guidestones and how they were built.
Well, they were shocking to me, actually. They're down in Elberton, Georgia, which is called the Granite Capital of the United States, and also the Cherokees called it, that area, the navel of the world. And this man, this anonymous man, he called himself R.C. Christian, which is very interesting because it connects with, you know, the Masonic tradition and the Rosicrucians. He showed up with tons of money and asked the local granite people to build this monument to his specifications. It has what we refer to as a new Ten Commandments, written in 8 different languages. And some of them, many people have been saying, oh, this is the New World Order. We found out that the man had Masonic connections, which was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But the first commandment says, maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Now, the second part of that, perpetual balance with nature, is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But 500 million, that means that there's, in order to live to those commandments, most of the planet has to die. So it was really disturbing to me because clearly there are problems on the planet, you know, overpopulation, people would say. But, you know, as my husband Jay likes to say, if people lived all like Buddhist monks, the planet could hold even more.
Mm-hmm.
So that was extremely disturbing to me. Some of the other commandments are beautiful. You know, do not be a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature and prize truth and beauty, seeking harmony with the infinite. But the first one is extremely disturbing. And, you know, Jay has been on lots of shows to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And people think that there are some that believe that there is a plan to depopulate the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, some people... It was interesting because we were at a film festival in Germany showing the films. And a lot of people came up to me afterwards and said that they agreed with the first commandment there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I felt like saying to them, I guess you expect to be one of the people that are going to survive.
Well, let's take it in a different context, though. I think, just like your husband said, if people had an understanding, if we were at the point of wisdom, which we're evolving to,
yes,
where we wouldn't have to kill all the fish in the sea, and we wouldn't take the strongest and best for trophy hunting, and we didn't do this, that, or the other, if we understood certain things, then we would be self-sufficient. We would know how to be able to raise animals, which we do to a point, but to do it in a way that is not going to damage the environment, that is going to provide the nutrition needed for the people that are here. However, I do think that Mother Nature, throughout history, in her own way, has always created a balance. And Pearl S. Buck, who was one of my favorite authors when I was growing up, she was one that wrote something to that effect, that whenever humanity seemed to become an irritant, she would sort of, we were like a bunch of ants running all over her back, she'd sort of roll over and get rid of us. You know, we had a chance to come back to where we were supposed to. So I think many times the natural environment of things, just as we observe, we're part of the animal kingdom, so we're not excluded from anything.
Well, if we would realize that we are part of it.
That's right, but we are.
Yes.
And so there are forces that evolve that we have absolutely no control over. So it is something that would not surprise me if there were natural catastrophes. Now, for all of you listening, I don't want you to turn purple and go, oh, my God, Donnie, you've said there's going to be natural catastrophes. Okay. But that's a fact of life. We literally experience them every single day. But it's when we come to a point of personal responsibility that I think, and that's something that's conveyed in your film, 2013, which has the title Time Wave. And I wanted to talk about both the films because I like both of them. And I think that each one has its various tonalities. But if nothing else, it creates provocative thinking. And just as with any time in history, when we look at certain times, like when the Roman Empire died, and that didn't mean that everything fell off the planet, for heaven's sakes. There were things that were in motion, that were moving. We literally are standing on the shoulders of the people that have gone before us, but we've got to be a little bit wiser than they were. And that's what's coming home to us big time, very quickly.
Well, I'm disturbed when I hear in the media, you know, now they're talking about, well, forget about the past, only think about the future. But how do you learn if you if you don't know about the past?
Right. And that's where I think there is a shift, where we're starting finally to recognize that those that we would call the elders,
yes,
people are saying, wait a minute, our younger generation has no clue about certain things. They haven't seen an influenza epidemic like there was in 1918. There's so many things that you cannot possibly begin to understand when you're a younger person unless you hear the stories from the older individuals, and that's part of what the elders are supposed to pass along. And the elders may have a lot of junk in their lives, too, that they pass along. But 2012, the movie you've put together, is not at all, in my view, a negative in any way. You have a quote here by Renee that says, it can be said in all truth that the end of a world never is and never can be anything but the end of an illusion.
Yes.
And I think that that is such a fine quote to be able to bring in to the movie right at the beginning. So you've got a number of the same people speaking as you have had in 2012, but you added some other individuals. You have William Henry in here. You have Dennis McKenna. You've just got a number of
Dean
individuals.
Dean Houston and Rhianne Eisler.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really pleased to have them. I've known Jean for many years. I worked very closely with her husband, Robert Masters. And she is a very wise woman. And what she talks about, that we've replaced, you know, where we used to sit around the hearth,
mm-hmm,
and tell stories to each other, that's been replaced with the television set. But the problem is that if there's no hearth, there's no heart, no continuity.
Mm-hmm.
And She has an amazing perspective because she travels throughout the world working with heads of state and doing what she can to, you know, facilitate this transformation. And then Rion Eisler, her work has been very important in my own research for many years. And she talks about the how did this occur? I was very curious, you know, well, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
How did this change in the world, this, you know, focus on materialism and greed and all that happen? And so she talks about the fact that there was once what she called the partnership society, where men and women lived in harmony. And that shifted to what she calls the dominator model, in which men became dominators, and then we went into this whole phase of egotism and greed and dominating the earth and dominating the women and dominating the children and each other and war.
Mm-hmm.
And she feels that we are now going to shift back into the partnership.
Mm-hmm. And part of that I don't think a lot of people understand, part of that is due to a willingness to be educated, a willingness to learn, a stepping away from fear.
Exactly.
A stepping away from fear. And in many cultures, because of what you've described as the domination, the woman was not encouraged to read. The woman was not supposed to learn because there was danger in that. If she began to read, if she began to learn, she'd begin to ask questions. And if she's asking questions, then that means she'll become dissatisfied and she will want change. And if she wants change, my goodness, then what do you do with that? That means you cannot control her.
That's right.
Now, it's not just with women that this is the case. It is also with the men. And when you look back historically, you go back centuries, you'll find this patterning. Wherever there is that cultural positioning of domination, whether it's for the male, the female, it doesn't make any difference, you then have what I call a slavery. And that slavery is held in place because of fear.
Definitely. And a lot of it has to do, when I reflect on this, and we've been working for about a year and a half on a new film, called Infinity, about death and the afterlife.
Oh, how fascinating.
Yes, it's going to be our best film yet. It's gorgeous. We're close to finishing the editing. But so I've had the opportunity to speak with many of the scholars and writers from different traditions about death itself. And when I think back to the whole concept of that we've gone through four ages, the Golden Age, the Silver Age, the Bronze Age, and the Iron Age, and that in the beginning we are completely one with divinity, living these amazing lives, and as the ages progress, we, you know, come to where we are now, total chaos. But in the stories about the ages, and they say in the Golden Age there was no death.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? That means that we were not, when you were born, you were not taught that you die. You were taught that you just shift into another way of being.
Mm-hmm.
And that there was incredible communion with these different realms, whether you were in physical body or not, and different star systems. And, you know, the mind was open to just amazing ways of thinking, which have been kept alive in these traditions, such as the Carol shamans or the Tibetans or the Hindus. But not, you know, given to the general public.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for all of that to be opened up.
Oh, yes, I agree. It's time to undo the archives that have been considered great mysteries and bring the truth out in the open. But there is that challenge. That's why the chaos has to be. Without the chaos, you're not going to be stirring the pot enough. There's going to be a complacency. So, again, it is parts of the advantage of one of the many parts that are an advantage to us with the technology is exactly what you're presenting here. Your films, you're able to bring to people visually through auditory factors with this film exquisite beauty, words of people that are thoughtful, and all of this is due to technology.
Yes.
And this is marvelous. So this is something that is going to assist people to be able to see. It feeds the mind, it feeds the visual eye, and I just think it causes a lot of thoughtfulness, and that's very important. Now, one of the things in your second film that I was fascinated by were the shaman that you have on the film, and I loved the part where the one shaman was actually carrying a condor, a preserved condor on his back because of the energy of the representation of that phenomenal bird. And you bring in these visuals and these cultural differences, and lots of people, maybe if they went to Peru and saw many of these people, they'd say, oh, these people are in poverty. They don't understand. It is not poverty they are in. It is a way of life, and it's a good way of life for them. They are not discontented with it necessarily.
Not at all. Not at all. They are living in community. They still have connections, so that if, you know, someone is suffering, you know, is ill, then all of the community will come and help them. It's the kinds of things we're looking towards that we miss. We become so isolated in this reality. I'd like to mention about the internet, because I have a very interesting insight into that. In the Hindu tradition, there is a phenomenon called Indra's net, which is this net of light that connects everything and everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an Indra's net. You could just travel, you know, in your meditation and go anywhere on this net. And I feel that the internet is an external manifestation of that, that will lead us into understanding how, again, to have that kind of telepathic communication that was once available through the Indra's net.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful comparison. And again, the visual in the second film of your travels, you're wearing a backpack, you're going through all of these various ancient environments.
14,000 feet.
Yes, and you're telling the stories, you talk about the shamans there. There's just so much that I think is being related in each of the films. And again, I want to mention, because I know we're close to being out of time, 2012, The Odyssey, and Time Wave, 2013. And in 2012, on the cover, it says Armageddon is not what it used to be, which is great. And then on Time Wave 2013, The Future is Now, The Odyssey 2. Sharon, where can people go? What is the website that people can go to if they want to find out more about these exquisite productions?
Thank you. SacredMysteries.com.
SacredMysteries.com. Now, this is not your only film.
Oh, no. We have 12 films that we've done. And we have, this year, by the end of this year, we should have at least 5 to 7 more coming out.
Oh, my word.
Yes.
Well, you're going to have to keep me informed, because
and
I was so impressed with
thank you. And also, we have the Mystery School.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Which is very exciting. It's such a pleasure.
You have a delightful day. And this is Donna Sebo. Hey, we're going to be taking a break. When we come back, we've got a lot of good things to share with you. Don't forget, 2012, that is The Odyssey, 2013, Time Wave. Go to sacredmysteries.com. Find out more. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Pete Smith here with OrthoTemp Health Shoes. These funky looking shoes, invented by a medical doctor, will make you feel better. Who has time to work out these days? Wear our sandals or clogs around the house, go shopping, wear them on the treadmill, you'll burn extra calories, you'll tone and trim the legs, thighs, lower abdomen, rear end, your love handle area. You'll simply feel better. Check them out on the web at orthotebb.net.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open, so if you'd like to give me a call and chat, Hey, you're more than welcome to do that. Here are the telephone numbers, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Worldwide, the telephone number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, if you are a first-time listener and you would like to perhaps call in and chat with me, anybody can do it. All you need to do when you call in is give me your first name or your initial, and then after that, I will give you my impressions, and you are, you know, it's just, I'm a mental resource, so I'm here to serve if that's what you would like for me to do. So again, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. Now, by the way, for those of you who are listening in Alaska, I'm going to be in Fairbanks and Anchorage, and I'm traveling with my microphone, up to Fairbanks, Alaska. I'll be up there, and it's all about balmy 5 degrees above zero. Who knows? It could change to be 40 above zero by the time I get there. Not likely, but it could. Anyway, I'll be up there on Monday, the 9th through the 11th, and then I will be in Anchorage, which will be a little bit warmer. It might be a balmy 20 degrees above zero. What do I know? This is the time of year when things start warming up in Alaska. But in Anchorage, I'll be broadcasting from there on Thursday through Sunday. So if you want to get in touch with me and set up a private session with me, you'll be able to do that. My office number is 800-872-8852. Also, for those of you in the Pacific Northwest, there is going to be some very special happenings going on, and boy, at the end of the month, there is a dynamic one. It's the Northwest Women's Show, and I've been participating in this for a few years, and I absolutely love it. And for you gals, hey, you've got to set the time on your calendar. It's Friday the 27th, the 28th, and the 29th. Go to their website, thenorthwestwomensshow.com, and you'll get all the details about parking, the Quest Convention Center, where it's located, the hours, 10 to 6, all of this good stuff. You'll get all of it right there on the site. And what's going to be so fabulous is that the Donna Sebo Show on Friday the 27th, we are going to have the opportunity to be on stage with the show, and by golly, I'm going to be able to interview 5 local women personalities right there. We're going to be talking about relationships, we're going to be talking about money, we're going to be talking about health, we're going to be talking about education. Ladies, this is for you, so you need to come out and come on by my booth, 406, and say hello. I just love to meet any of you that are in the area. Stop by, but it is going to be a dynamic day. I'm so pleased that this opportunity has been given to me. So BBS, the Donna DeBusebo Show, is going to be up there with a nice bright sign, so you'll know that we are there sharing those special gals that have achieved recognition and accomplishment in areas of expertise, and they're going to be right there talking to you. So we'll give you more about who the people will be as we get closer to that. But again, that's the 27th, the 28th, and the 29th. And if you would like to be an assistant on Friday, the 27th, give me a call because I'll be able to set that up for you so you can come in, you have to pass into the show. But anyway, give me a call at my office, 800-872-8852. And last but not least, April 25th, I'm going to be teaching a class in Tacoma. It's an all-day class at Saturday, the 25th. It's titled Mind Vision. It's about you. It's about empowering you. It is going to be from 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon on Saturday, April 25th. Call me if you're interested in making reservations, because if you do, you'll have a $10 discount on the ticket. The cost for the class is $95, and that includes a complimentary lunch. And it's a great way to interact and network with the people that are attending the class. We just had such a great time last year that I'm coming back and I'm doing a new class this year. So anyway, that's what's happening with Donna Sebo in the Pacific Northwest. And again, if you need any information, just give me a call, 800-872-8852. I want to thank those of you who have been sending me some wonderful, wonderful stories. I've got one about, believe it or not, a pet bull. Yes, an 1,800-pound Angus steer. And this came from Mary Ellen, who is known as Angel Scribe. And I've known Mary Ellen for years, and she said, Donna, you've got to know about this story. And it is about a woman by the name of Angela, and her pet, a 12-year-old 1,800-pound Angus steer. Yes, this is a story that will touch your heart and your mind, so I'll be sharing that with you. Also, I wanted to mention something that was told to me today. Now, I am not an attorney, but I wanted to share this with you. If you have anyone that perhaps is going through a challenge with foreclosures, I mean, we're hearing all of this news about how many people are losing their homes. Somebody passed along a tip. I will just share it with you to see if maybe it has some validity, and you can pass it along to a friend. But if you know of someone that's going through a difficult time like this, tell them to make sure that they are given a copy of the original note. If they have it in their records, they need to be able to make sure that whoever is going through the foreclosure proceedings, that they do get the, make sure that whoever is doing the foreclosure, they have the original note. This apparently came through an attorney who said they have discovered that in the banking industry, that so many pieces of property, mortgages have been sold over and over and over and over again, that this may give someone a time window to work with because a lot of the original documents cannot be found. So as with all things which are very important when it comes to official documentation, you want to be sure that you have your records, obviously, but you want to find out who has the original note. And it may just give somebody a time window. This was just told to me this morning, so I thought I would share that with you. Also, I wanted to share with you the fact that there are a lot of people out there. You don't need to get stuck in doomsday thinking. There are a lot of people out there trying to figure out ways to make our world better, to take what may be considered negative circumstances and turn them into something that's positive. There's the old saying, necessity is the mother of invention. And so frequently with human beings, we wait until circumstances get to be rather horrific, whether they're put upon us or whether we create them ourselves. And then all of a sudden, our innovative parts of self start coming alive. Well, there are some fascinating terms that are becoming buzzwords. Biomimicry is one, and I'm sure you've heard that one. It's the emulation of natural designs and processes. In other words, they're copying nature. That's nothing really new. Self-cleaning plastic, plastic with a surface that causes liquids to roll off, and that's achieved by forming it in a mold with tiny bumps like those on the surface of a lotus leaf. And photovoltaic, that's made of solar cells that can convert sunlight directly into electricity. And photocatalyzation is a process that uses light to speed up chemical reactions, such as the breakdown of pollutants. Now, I don't know how many of you are aware of a scientist named Luther Burbank. This was a man that I became aware of having been born and raised in California because the city of Burbank was named after him. This was a man who had such a passion for nature that as a chemist, as a scientist, as a child, he would say that he could communicate with plants. Now, in our world today, we don't think that that's a bad thing to say, but you have to realize this was perhaps in the late 1800s when he was feeling this. And he had this wonderful rapport with plants, and they would let him know what could be done and what couldn't be done. It's because of Luther Burbank that many species of potatoes were developed, and scientists that came after Luther Burbank built on what he was able to share with the world. But this is a man that said, if you study nature, you're going to find solutions, and you don't have to destroy nature in the process. So he really listened to this. And if ever you want to find out about someone that was way, way ahead of everybody else in his time when it came to nature, Luther Burbank is a man that you should explore. Now, here are some biomimicry efforts that are coming up. Large-scale challenges such as supplying energy to an entire building. Well, the Kyoto-based company Kyosemi has developed a power-harvesting solar cell that imitates the way trees collect sunlight from various angles with their leaves. It's called Solar. The product comprises little spherical cells that can be incorporated into a building's windows. Now, unlike standard photovoltaic panels, Solar can absorb light from many different directions. And Thereby, it provides more consistent power generation as the sun is moving across the sky. People are out there thinking, folks. We need to realize that is a good thing. We should get our kids involved in science, too. It's exciting. There's wonderful opportunities here right now. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. Hey, if you want to give me a call and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, buzz me at 877. It's toll-free, 876-5227, or 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
This is Pete Smith for OrthoTeb Health Shoes. OrthoTebs are completely heelless, invented by a doctor, and you'll burn 3 times the calories of regular walking in our sandals, 2 times the calories of regular walking in our clogs. They help you tone and trim the entire leg, thighs, buns, lower abs, and love handle area. They offer symptom improvement for people with plantar fasciitis and low back pain. Check them out on the web at www.orthoteb.net.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. Well, how many of us would consider having an 1,800-pound bull as a pet? Well, I don't think that would be in my itinerary of pets. However, this is a wonderful story, and it's just got such a happy ending to it, but there's some sadness that goes along with it. And when I was sent this by Mary Ellen, I said, okay, I've got to share it. Now, the woman that we're going to be talking about, her name is Angela, and I've got a photo of this 1,800-pound Angus steer, and this steer at this time is 12 years old, so he is, I mean, he's a lot of bull. Well, he was born on July 4th of 1996. And he was found out in the field, and nobody knew where his mother was. And Ed is Angela's husband, and he tried to take it over to the herd that they have on their ranch. But none of the cows would have anything to do with this small calf. So to save the calf's life, they were bottle feeding it 4 times a day. Now, Andy as a calf nearly died. The vet was really apprehensive, but Angela was really adamant that she was going to do everything she could to save this calf's life. So she kept him in a little pen and just made sure that he was, you know, he was loved, he got a lot of attention and a lot of good food. And she said, I just fell in love with this little calf. She said, he was just like a helpless puppy and he totally relied on me. And she said, you can't help it. When you have an animal and you're taking care of it, their life depends on you, it just becomes a part of you, and there's this connection that occurs. Well, they really bonded. Of course, Angela was the one that was grooming him all the time, and she'd make sure when the nights got real cold that he was nice and warm and everything was clean, and she would just talk to him, and there was this wonderful, wonderful bond. Well, Andy was the only animal in their livestock that would come when they called him. So they'd call out for Andy, and there he was. He'd trot right up to Angela just like a puppy. And the rest of the herd just ignored him. So he was the oddball, okay? His life was very, very strange. And he just absolutely loved Angela. He would, he kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, but it wasn't an intimidating animal even for a size to Angela. They were just best buddies. Well, because they have a cattle farm, that's their business. Cows are business, and cows have to go to the slaughterhouse. But Ed and Angela had had an agreement. Angela said, Andy's very special to me. So my husband said we could always keep him. Now, every once in a while, her husband would tease her and say, you know what, you never know when Andy's going to go to market with the other cows. Well, the day came, and that's what happened. Ed loaded up Andy and the truck of cows that were going to go to the auction. And when Angela found out that this had been done, she was just devastated. She said, I felt like my best friend had died, my pet was gone, but my marriage was really in trouble. She was furious with her husband. Well, Ed didn't like being in the doghouse, so she said, all right, this is it. Now, this is what happened. She thought that because Andy was sent with the rest of the cattle to the slaughterhouse, that her beloved friend was gone. She went so far as to put a metal plaque on the pew in her church dedicated to Andy. Well, she said she went to her pastor with $589.10 in hand. It was the money that Ed had gotten for Andy's 1,300 pounds of weight when he sold him at auction. She said, I'm giving it to the church. I just don't want it, and my husband certainly is not getting it. Her husband was in deep trouble. Well, the pastor of the church was a little bit concerned because he just said, my goodness, we don't want your marriage to be destroyed. But he said, you know what, I'm not a cattle expert, Angela, but I do know that when cattle are shipped, they lose weight. Possibly Andy will be fed for a few days in a feedlot to rebuild his weight. If you can find who bought him, and he might be still alive, maybe you can buy him back. Well, guess what? Angela took him up on it. This is a woman that does her homework. She found this pet of hers, Andy, at a feedlot in Eagle, Idaho, 470 miles from home. She phoned the slaughterhouse and told them that she and her husband were coming for Andy, and he was in a huge field of pens where the cattle eat, stand, and sleep until it's time for them to go to the slaughterhouse. Now, he was mixed in with 25,000 cattle. 25,000. He was 3 days from ending up in a meat market. Andy was so healthy that the manager knew he was going to be sold for a very good amount of money, even though Andy had lost 100 pounds during travel from stress and separation anxiety. Ed, Angela's husband, knew that the only way to regain peace at home was to join in on the hunt, so he hooked up the cattle trailer to the truck. They drove east for 12 hours from western Washington State into Idaho and arrived in time to save Andy. Now, Angela always had the habit of feeding apples to Andy because he loved to eat them. She said, She had a cut-up apple in hand. She said, I walked over to this huge holding pen and started calling his name. Andy! Andy! And over the noise of 25,000 herd of cattle, believe me, that is a noise that is just at a decibel level you wouldn't even imagine. Do you know Andy heard her? And he responded, and he mooed, and he came trotting directly over to her. But what happened next, she said, I stroked his head and these big tears fell from his large black eyes. I didn't know that this was possible. Andy was crying. This big steer was crying, a big bull. Now, the secretary of the slaughterhouse saw what happened. She cried. Everybody was hugging each other, and Andy was able to go back home. Now, Angela wrote a $750 check for Andy. His value had gone up in just a few short days, but to Angela, he was priceless. Loaded him home and loaded him up into their cattle trailer for the return trip home, and that took 24 hours. They had to travel 940 miles before they got Andy back into his own environment. Now, Andy kept calling out to Angela during the entire trip, so Ed would have to stop the truck, and she'd climb into the cattle trailer. She would feed him. She comforted him. She said he was so traumatized from the whole experience, but she said, we got home. And the herd knew that Andy was coming home, and they had all come together, 45 cows, over an 80-acre, they had all come in to greet him. At 1 a.m. in the morning, all of the cows were gathered down by the gate to welcome Andy home. And they all moved aside when he walked into his own pasture. 8 years later, Andy's still there, 1,800 pounds of him. And they love him dearly. With that much love, he'll probably live to be a nice, ripe old age of 30 to 50 years of age. Who knows? But that's a story of love, and it's a real one. Thank you, Mary Ellen, for sharing it with us. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life is good. We've got a wonderful guest tomorrow. Win Without Competing. We'll see you right here on bbsradio.com. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.